All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, back again, episode 27, from WVUF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majors, along with Jack Sarasulo. Jack, how are we feeling today?
Good. Warm weather, Fairfield baseball, back again.
Good.
Coming back to Alumni Field this weekend.
Yeah, so...
excited.
And we got Alumni Hall coming down next to us, right outside the window over here. We were just looking through it as we walked by. You could see the inside pretty clearly. Kind of sad, kind of cool at the same time. Maybe we'll post a picture after the show for everyone at home. But yeah, today on Red Sea Radio, this is probably our second to last episode of the year. And we're going to be talking about some MAC transfers along with Fairfield Baseball's obviously still undefeated. Incredible season. So there's been some shaking up of the MAC in terms of basketball since we last were on air. I know last week we had Jay Young on, which was pre-recorded, so we haven't really been in here for 2 weeks. So one of the biggest things is obviously Jalen Pickett, who is former MAC Player of the Year. You know, they expected him to move on to the pros, potentially, right?
Yeah, they were talking.
But as it stands, he's actually now transferring to Penn State. So what were kind of your initial reactions to something like this?
Well, as you mentioned before, I originally thought it wasn't Penn State. But honestly, I think he'd be a big help to them. I mean, they're kind of like at the lower part of the Big Ten. They were good kind of, what was it, pre-COVID? Was it 2019? 2019-2020, I guess they were pretty good, and then COVID hit. But this past year, they weren't as good as if I remember correctly. So I mean, he's a legit D1 player. Like, we make jokes like the MAC is kind of like not really top tier basketball, but he's one of those guys that like obviously did not belong in that conference. I think he'll be good for sure. He'll be good for them.
Yeah, he averaged 15 points of previous two seasons, 12 this season, only played 14 games. He had some injuries, obviously missed that one game against Fairfield. But yeah, it's interesting, you know, to open up a lot of discussions because obviously he's a very good player, one of the best players, if not the best player in our conference. But, you know, it's just, you know, we talked about this yesterday in my sports management class, actually, just like, the whole dynamic now with the transfers of the upper schools kind of just treating mid-majors like almost like a minor leagues. And they're pulling a lot of guys
especially
out now.
Especially now because you don't have to sit out a year anymore. That was the whole thing. It was like, do you take the extra year of sitting out to go to a bigger school or whatever, go to a bigger program? Or do you just stay where you are and just keep playing, not lose the whole year of playing? Well, now guys can just move back and forth kind of freely, like it's like a free agency. So it's like, why wouldn't he go up? Why wouldn't he move to a Big Ten school where you can get national attention and get like actual draft buzz, except instead of being kind of the best in a lesser conference?
But it's at the same time, you know, you don't know if he's gonna be a star guy there, if he's gonna get a lot of playing time there.
Yeah, I mean, it's he probably is. He realizes what his peak is, being the best player in the MAC or on Siena. And I think he also, I guess, wants to play kind of higher competition, make him better. I don't think he's going to be, like, their best player by any means, but I can't imagine he doesn't play for them at all. Like, I can't imagine he goes to Penn State and just becomes, like, some bench, like, extra rotation guy.
Yeah, it's just because, you know, he was getting professional buzz as is. Not saying he's going to go to the NBA, but, like, I mean, professional, like, at some level.
International, whatever.
It almost, like, makes no sense to me. I know Siena has been trying to beat Iona for some years now to get to the tournament. They've gotten close to some extent. Last year, you could argue that they were on their way. It just doesn't really make much sense to me for him to go there for 1 year. But maybe, you know, he just wants the big college experience, like a big college game atmosphere. I don't know. It's just interesting because you almost wonder why he didn't leave last year then, if this was in the cards.
Yeah, I guess that would have been good. I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe it was something personally he saw that he wants to move from being professional internationally and getting kind of actual NBA draft buzz, which, I mean, is much easier when you're playing on Fox and ESPN, actual ESPN every night rather than, like, the side ESPN Plus areas.
Yeah.
Granted, I will say this, NBA draft guys, if you're good, they'll find you. Like, if you're good enough to be in the NBA, they'll find you.
He was making buzz in the MAC. It's not like he was, like, you know, like, he was the top player and stuff like that. So, I don't know. But from our perspective, glad to see him go. You know, I know some people could look at it like, oh, he makes the MAC better, more eyes on us. But I'm glad to see him go. I don't want him here next year playing against us. So long to Jalen Pickett. Good luck in your future. Once you leave the MAC, then we can root for you.
Yeah.
So we'll watch you play against
Rutgers,
and we'll probably root against you there. But we'll wish the best for you. And so long to Jalen Pickett. Another transfer in the MAC, Casey Ndefo, who was junior at St. Peter's. Obviously, another top player in the MAC has declared, into the transfer portal. So this past year, he averaged 13.7 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, an assist and a half. So, and he shot 50% from the field. So a very good player, a guy that has given us trouble at times.
Of course.
And given the whole league trouble at times. So this is interesting. Because, you know, we don't know where he's going to go right now. But I did hear online some buzz about potentially Rutgers, which I think would be really interesting.
I mean, I would have fun watching him play at Rutgers. At times they kind of shoot three a lot. And they have a couple of big guys I remember them having. But obviously Ron Harper's, they rely on the three a lot. I mean, he's like a big guy that can get in the paint and finish the rim. He's got to kind of fit in anywhere, I feel like.
Yeah.
He's not, like, doesn't need the ball that much.
And it's, you know, St. Peter's, New Jersey, Rutgers, New Jersey, pretty local school, not a big move for him. But it would propel him into a really good basketball school that's on the up and probably going to make the tournament again next year. So, you know, I wouldn't hate that move. I think it would be a decent move for him. But, yeah, I mean, wherever he goes, he's a good player. He'll probably find his way. But again, another hit for St. Peter's, another hit for the MAC. This is all good for us, I guess.
It's all good for us. I mean, all the teams that were ahead of us are now starting to slowly lose their players.
Yeah, all these players, it's getting shaken up a little bit. St. Peter's is obviously the 2 seed this past year. So, yeah, teams are getting worse. And we're like, kind of still there, I think.
Yeah, it's like an NBA or whatever, it's like teams get good, they hit their peak, and then they start losing guys. It's like kind of very, it's like very oddly similar to that.
Yeah, you can't maintain.
You need to recruit well.
But that's, again, goes back to, like, it's so hard in these mid-major schools to maintain guys who are your star players, essentially.
You hit a diamond in the rough, and he ends up leaving in 2 years anyway.
And it goes back to comparing it almost to, like, the minor leagues of the top-tier teams, because it's like, it almost, like, doesn't matter, really, because it's just those top schools are just watching, and then they're there to strike and take your players, and then you're back at square one with whoever else was left on the team.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but...
And it's good to see Fairfield, obviously. I don't think there's anyone really that would be needing it, but in the future it would be interesting to see if Fairfield has someone that has that option and either takes it or doesn't.
Like... You know, Supreme,
Jalen.
2 years from now.
Jalen
2 years from now or so, you know.
Someone we haven't even seen yet.
Even incoming freshman or something like that. Yeah, it's interesting. And I guess that's going to be another quality that MAC and mid-major coaches and staffs are going to have to work on. And they probably have, you know, for a while. It's just being able to maintain players, too. You know, being able to grow players, but also being able to maintain them and convince them that it's worth it to stay here and try to fight for a MAC championship. And again, going back on like the would you rather be, you know, like the big fish in the little pond or
the little fish in the big pond.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how people see it. If people are trying to go for NBA looks versus just like going pro anywhere, where they're from, that kind of stuff. It's
case based.
Yeah, it's
very thing.
Very different based on the case.
So then we got another kind of MAC thing we want to talk about. Not a transfer, George Pappas. He's returning to Monmouth, which was at first he was in the portal. Obviously, we sent him out in tears in the MAC tournament, right? And it seemed like it would be his last game. They lost Dion Hammond. He's going pro. So they lost some guys. Yeah, they all went out crying, remember, when we played them. But Pappas has declared that he is returning to Monmouth. So this is big news for the MAC because, you know, he averaged 12.4 points per game, 3.3 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 44% from the field. Obviously a very good three-point shooter and a very good player, plays a lot of heart. So, you know, I see people online talking and stuff like that. Obviously a MAC Player of the Year candidate right off the bat for next year. I know we talked about him. We even talked about him to Jay Young last week. And, yeah, this is big for Monmouth. It really is going to be a big senior leader for them going into next season. But, yeah, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't want that. We obviously we're not happy about that. I mean, he's really good, obviously, but I think Hammond was really the kind of the guy that the main guy in that offense. He was probably the Batman, and Pappas with the Robin. It'll be interesting to see how he is with the extra leadership.
Well, now he's going to get more
looks.
Yeah, so I think he's just going to become better next season.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he's not free reign to shoot from anywhere now. Like, actually, anywhere.
And he pretty much already did, too.
Yeah, but you know, Hammond also was kind of there to take a lot of his playmaking ability. I would love to see. It's interesting to see his playmaking ability and see how if it improves or he can handle that stuff. Because we always saw with Taj, obviously, this past year, taking that playmaking duties off of him made him so much better. I wonder if it'll be like the reverse for Pappas, and it'll be having him have those playmaking duties will kind of make it tougher on him.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point, and we'll see how that all shakes out. So that's that one might bump Monmouth back up in the preseason standings or whatever, but a lot of people have been taking hits. I know Rick Pitino tweeted the other day that he had some player that on Iona that was like his worst shooter last year, and he just said that he turned him into one of his better shooters or something.
I mean, that's Pitino.
Pretty much bragging about himself. but we didn't really want to get too much into that. Last thing I want to talk about for basketball, because we never got to talk about it, and Jay Young kind of like announced it on our show, is Jesus Cruz returning for his fifth year. So we kind of did our wrap up show as if
he wasn't
returning. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, just like your thoughts on him confirmed returning to Fairfield now.
It's never a bad thing to get him back. I mean, like Jesus Cruz will never be not welcome back at Fairfield. I don't think he'll ever not have a spot in the rotation. Never. He makes them a better team no matter how few shots he makes, how bad a game he has. He will always be adding positive value. So I really am excited to have him back. As much as we kind of criticized him, I'm excited to have him back on the team.
Yeah, now we're really not losing anyone too important next year at all.
No, I mean, Calvin is the only one that's transferring out.
Yeah.
Because, like, when Taj and Jesus were our only two seniors, right? If I remember.
Yeah. And we're going to have extra guys next year.
Yeah,
right? Because of.
We'll be adding, if anything.
Yeah, we'll be adding people. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to have him back, too. We saw the end of the year how inspired they were in their last run. And, you know, you got to assume that next year they'll be the same, if not even more, inspired to try to get it done and win the MAC. Because, you know, this year, obviously Taj probably knew he was coming back. Cruz, I don't know, but next year they really know this is it. Like, this is their last run together. So, yeah, I'm excited to have him back. Hopefully next year we can get more of that, you know, MAC tournament, Jesus, also like those games where,
like,
him off the bench, taking smart shots.
Hitting shots that are, like, I mean, he just genuinely straight up just, like, was hitting threes. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing, like, really to it. It's just, like, he was making shots that he was missing during the regular season.
Yeah.
And if he can, like, consistently do that, then that's...
Yeah, but that's a heavy ask because it's, like...
Well, yeah. I mean, he was hitting 2 to 3 threes a game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when he does take a three or two, make sure, like...
If he can improve his three-point percentage.
Yeah, find a spot that he is comfortable shooting from.
But even if he's not going to go off from three every game, right, just like that cruise that we saw at times during, like, the late regular season where he was, you know, coming off the bench, taking smart shots. He's not taking, like, 10 shots a game.
He's not taking layups over 3 years.
A leader on defense, taking charges, diving in there for balls, which he always does.
Yeah, and that's why he'll always be a positive. He'll always be a net positive for our
players. Like we said, too, it's just like that leader off the bench coming in when Taj goes out or when Caleb goes out, and he can go in there and kind of lead a team and lead the younger guys.
I mean, even at his worst, he was an elite finisher at the rim on offense. And
yeah.
He's a great free throw shooter, too. He has parts of his game that will never not
be there.
Never not be there. And so, if he does add more, then it's just a huge plus.
Yeah, because Taj was kind of like that the year before, too.
Yeah, he had great things.
And he added
his
even more
shooting, and it turned him into one of the better players in the MAC.
Yeah, and I was happy last week that Jae Young said that he was disappointed that Taj was not on the All-MAC teams.
Yeah, we were, too.
Because we tweeted about that, too. We were pretty disappointed. I didn't see a whole lot, like, on Twitter and stuff about it, like, about people being disappointed.
Yeah, no one really mentioned it,
but I was, like, I was pretty shocked. I thought he definitely deserved a spot on one of the teams, so.
I definitely agree.
I was happy that Jae Young said that. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that he said that was kind of...
Well, I was going to mention what Iona guy, that tweet I sent you about Iona guy with the his early top five for the...
Oh, on Twitter?
So, I mean, last year, obviously, or going to this year, we did that show about, like, the three-man weave article and all that stuff. Like, we were, what, ninth?
Yeah.
Last, eighth. I think eighth was the highest one we saw.
Yeah.
So, I mean, early top five from Iona guy F on Twitter said, no particular order either, Iona, Peters, Ryder, Fairfield, and Quinnipiac. To get that respect, I don't know. Especially this early, to get that kind of respect.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, you never want to look too much into those things.
But
especially when it's just, like, a guy on Twitter.
Yeah, I know it's just a guy on Twitter, but he is kind of good with his stuff. We follow him on
NC
Radio.
Yeah. You know, you never want to look too much into it, but it's also nice to get that early nod, right? Like, when you're towards the top, you want to, like, put it out there.
Yeah.
And then when you're towards the bottom, you're always like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But when you're towards the top, you're like, oh, look at this. So, no, it's nice. And, I mean, I like just in general how motivated the team seems. Like, Jae Young talked to us, and even when we had Chrysler on here, how they, like, hung up a poster or whatever of Patino cutting down the nets to, like, motivate them. Like, I really like how the team is, like, it seems like they're motivated to get better next year.
It's the perfect bad guy to root against, or to
yeah,
be motivated against.
The perfect villain. And, I'm excited for next year, going into to Bridgeport for some games.
Of course, yeah.
Working some games. You gotta go.
I will.
You gotta go lead the student section while I'm working. And so we'll see how it goes. I was just trying to think if there's anything Jae Young said that was, like, kind of surprising or interesting. You know what was interesting to me was when he talked about, we asked him about the play at Manhattan, the decision not to foul.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting question because I feel like I was kind of out there. Like, I feel like he wouldn't expect to get a question like that, but I thought he answered it really well.
It's also interesting he very analytical with his approach. I feel like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want... We don't know him that well enough, but, like, I feel like he would be more of a kind of bare bones, like, gut feeling reaction. But he was more like... He was very, like... The numbers say, like, exactly, like, don't foul.
Just, the numbers favor it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or slightly, he said, but...
I thought the most important thing was, like, he said, you know, that play happens, like, a million times, right? Down by two or up by two or whatever. And you never see the, you know, 900 times that they just shoot the ball and miss. You only see the 5 or 10 times that the team ties or wins the game with a game-winning shot. It's, like, it's an interesting position because it's, like, if as a coach, if you're in that defending position, if you defend it well and they miss and you win the game, it's like, all right, nice, you won the game. But you don't get, like, coverage on the media. Is what he's saying. No. It's not on SportsCenter.
It's not SportsCenter for not fouling.
But if you do and then you ruin the game and you lose, then you get criticized. You don't really get praised in either situation, so it's kind of, like, an interesting situation to be in.
And he also, I mean, he made a good point. It's like, you get stops all game, just get that, like, get one more. It's not that, like... Like, change up what you've been doing all game when your team is...
It's working.
Yeah,
working all and game. That's also what they're built on.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, that's interesting. Just trying to think about anything else. I thought he seemed like he talked well about Jason, which we were kind of interested on. He said, like, Jason kind of just started the race late or whatever.
Yeah, he seemed like he had confidence in him towards the end, though.
Yeah, And any of the other question marks, I know Alan, can't remember what he said about Alan. Basically just kind of reiterated what he said in the beginning of the year.
Working, getting better.
Really just he needs like a trick. Like he needs something to rely on or something that makes you want to put him in the game. Mm-hmm. Like he needs something to set him apart. So I thought it was a good conversation all around. He's like a good interview to have always. Talks a lot.
Yeah, he loves to talk.
He answers a lot. I feel bad. We have like 20 questions and it ends up going like over an hour. But no, he always answers a lot. Great interview. Cracks some jokes. So we always appreciate having him on. So we'll move on from Fairfield basketball. We'll kind of lay it to rest. Unless there's more MAC news by next week. And we'll move on to Fairfield baseball, which. He's in season, incredible so far, 25-0. They obviously, since we've last talked, man, that was probably a while ago, right? Since we last talked about them, 2 weeks. I know they beat Monmouth 4 in a row. That I think we never talked about that on here, but we went to those games, those Saturday and Sunday games. Mm-hmm. They won the first game 3-2, the second game 8-2, and then on Sunday they won 4-3 and 4-1. So, was that the walk-off game?
3-2 one, I'm pretty sure, was the walk-off game. The one that was 3-2.
I think it was the 4-3 one, okay. A Sunday. Remember it was on a Sunday?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was game one on the Sunday. They all start mixing together because I feel like every game's like the same score. I feel like every game ends like, it's like 5-3, 4-3.
Well, that's the interesting thing, right, talking about Fairfield baseball is the first time we talked about them on here, I kind of was saying they need some adversity in their game. Like, they need to struggle almost.
Or something.
They need a close game. They need a comeback. And then that day, right, that was April 14th. That day they actually had that. They wound up beating Quinnipiac 2-1 in the first game. Close game. But then in the doubleheader second game, the 3 p.m. doubleheader, they won 5-2. But that was that game where they were down.
Yeah, they scored 4 in the eighth.
That was the game where they were down. I remember I was at work. I was over there in Walsh, and I was leaving. And I looked up at the scoreboard, and they were down 2-1 in, like, the seventh with two outs. And I was like, wow, like, they lost. It's over. I'm so confused that when they play seven
they
and
play
they nine.
Seven, okay, so I think it's they play seven the first, nine the second.
Yeah.
Nine.
It just doesn't make sense to me because I feel like you should play the same number of innings in both games, whether it's 7-7 or 9-9. So I was leaving that game. I was leaving work thinking, like, wow, they lost. And then I looked on my phone and they were coming back 2 innings later. So,
I mean, after that after that, they had a couple close games, and then St. Peter's was St. Peter's in Manhattan. They kind of just took them to.
Yeah,
went back to what they were doing in the beginning of the month.
Yeah, obviously the St. Peter's 20-2, and then
a forfeit
that doesn't really count as a win, no contest forfeit. And then this past weekend, you know, a slew of big wins against Manhattan, and that's their first two away series.
Say, I'm glad to see they can still get it done away. It's
on the road,
like
a
weird like home.
Home field advantage
dominance,
kind of thing,
yeah.
Or home dominance. But going back to that Monmouth series, that was, like, really interesting for the team as a whole because going into that, we were, what, like, 16-18-0, and Monmouth was
11-2.
Whatever, 16-2.
They were pretty close in this, like, somewhat close in the standings.
It went from, that series to me really took Fairfield baseball from, like best team in the MAC
to, like,
looking
legit,
for a championship to, like, top
team
in the country almost, like, ranking-wise. Sweeping them was like, because I remember we left the show April 14th when they were playing Quinnipiac that day, and I was telling you, I was like, hopefully they can take like split it or at
split
least
it,
or
yeah,
take
keep
three.
The lead in their conference. We were saying keep the lead in the conference.
Yeah, because for conference reasons, like split it or take three would be great. Sweeped. We went to both those games Sunday. We went to the second game Sunday actually. And Jack was out there in center field with the megaphone. So we'd like to take credit for that one home run where the wall grab, he missed it.
Oh, yeah, he missed it. He went over his glove.
Yeah, we'd like Jack to take credit for that with his megaphone. You think he threw him off there. So that was a 4-1 win. That was a fun game. We missed them this weekend.
Yeah, we did. Well, they'll be back this weekend.
They're back this weekend, May 1st, Saturday. May 2nd, Sunday, a couple doubleheaders against Siena. So they got 4 games there and 4 at Niagara. 8 games left to try to potentially finish off this undefeated regular season. But it doesn't really matter. It obviously matters, and it's historical. But conference championship-wise, as long as they don't like get swept in like 2 series or whatever.
Yeah.
They might have already clinched it. I don't even
know.
But
I don't even know where.
But you know, it's important because the winner obviously gets to host the MAC championships.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said,
oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
the winner hosts.
Yeah, and like you said, the home dominance that they have here, we'd love them to host.
Yeah.
Right. And it's unfortunate that
we might have to make our trip back up to watch.
I know it's unfortunate that it's. The end of May, we're not going to be here. We leave like mid-May.
Yeah, they're 9.5 up on the next place team.
So they can't. They clinched then. They only have 8
games
left.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. Yeah, it's unfortunate that.
We got it now. Now it's we're like now with us being nationally recognized, it's like you can't take a day off like. You can't take games off till because you won the MAC. Because now,
oh, true.
One
yeah.
loss ruins what kind of the national attention that we've been grabbing.
Yeah. So, right. So right now they're number 23 according to Baseball America.
Yeah.
That was the big one 2 days ago. People were tweeting like rank the Stags and stuff. I like the whole movement.
They had their resume.
You see the resume?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool actually.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny.
That was really good graphics wise. The resume 25-0, only unbeaten team in the NCAA. 12-0 against top 100 RPIs, outscoring opponents 212-63. So we were 1 in RPI last week at one point. I think we're back down
to two. Yeah.
I think we have the lowest ERA in the country. I just
saw
that stat somewhere.
Whip, I know. I think WHIP is pretty high up there.
Yeah, lowest WHIP. Batting average 3rd in the NCAA, slugging 4th in the NCAA, on base 4th in the NCAA. We just had, I think Mike Handel was just MAC Player of the Week. I think he hit like 500 last week.
It's interesting seeing like when Baseball America posted their poll on Twitter, all the comments like they were like kind of like congratulating Fairfield, like oh last like undefeated team in America, and you could tell Arkansas. Was
yes,
the
I wanted to talk about that today. I forgot to bring that up.
They seem pretty salty that Fairfield's kind of getting that recognition.
So
they're, like,
I didn't even know.
Come to
SEC, play SEC
ball. Yeah, play
ball.
SEC ball. That's what it was. That was the quote.
I kind of thought Arkansas was a little irrelevant in terms of, like, fandom.
No, I feel like the South,
No, I know. In terms of, like, SEC schools, though, like, Bama, LSU, like, Georgia, like, all these, like, big, like, schools with huge fan bases. I thought Arkansas was, like, almost a little irrelevant. Like, who likes Arkansas? Mm-hmm. I guess because we've never been there or anything.
We don't know anything.
But their fans were ruthless online. It's kind of crazy.
It was
like, they
come to Fayetteville or whatever.
Yeah, I think
like,
it was.
Come to Fayetteville and play three. I guarantee we'll sweep or something like that.
Yeah, they were like, congrats to the Stags, but if you ever want to play, like, I guarantee we'd, like, make
them.
If you
want to play some SC ball, come to
like, regret it and stuff. Like, it was like, ruthless. And I was surprised because, like, obviously at the end of the day, Arkansas is better than Fairfield.
Well, obviously,
and
yeah.
Even the teams below, Vanderbilt's better than Fairfield, and, you know, LSU and
Ole
Miss.
All the teams behind them are better than Fairfield.
Most of the teams behind them in the RPI are probably would be.
No, RPI? Oh, I'm talking about the top 25. I'm saying RPI, obviously, yeah.
And probably the top 25 as well.
Yeah, probably that one, too.
You know, and it's like, it's not really like when we celebrate it, it's not like we're saying that we're better than all those teams. It's just really nice for.
You don't see this stuff very often.
Yeah, it's really nice for a mid-major school to get recognized top nationally for a really good season. And it's like 25-0 is hard no matter where you are.
I mean, baseball is made to. You're supposed to lose in baseball. You're not supposed to go undefeated in baseball. The best teams of all time never go undefeated. Like, so, like, it's, like, impressive no matter what. Because it's just such a sport that's any team can win on any day. It's, like, one bad day. The fact they had no bad days in the entire season.
And it's, like, we're playing teams that are equal skill level to us, right? Like, we're
teams that we should be
competing against or losing. Like, it should be all equal, kind of, you know what I mean? We're in this league. Everyone's kind of on the same playing field. SEC, they're all kind of on the same playing field. And it's just, like, to be 25-0 in the MAC, to be 25-0 in Little League Baseball, it's hard.
Exactly. It could be anything. It's still impressive.
You know, no matter where you are, it's hard. And it's impressive, yeah. So,
I don't know if you saw they do, like, their Selection Monday or whatever for the baseball tournament, like, their field of 64.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at the projected field, and I don't know if this might be a new one, but the original one I saw. Oh, no, this was a new one, but the original one I saw had them playing in against Virginia Tech. I guess it just has them winning the MAC as, like, because of the first place.
Uh-huh.
Had them playing in Blacksburg Super Regional against Virginia Tech, who was, like, hosting, with Florida in it, and I forgot the last team, but it was, like, Florida, Virginia Tech, another pretty big school, and I was, like, if I have to see it, it's going to be the most mind-boggling thing to see, like, Fayetteville playing University of Florida.
Yeah. But it's like, that's kind of what we want, you know?
No, we do. I would prefer, like, them playing the biggest. I don't want to see them play Liberty. Like, I could see them play Liberty whenever. Oh, wait. No way. Oh, my God. So the newest one, they released one 15 hours ago. They're playing in the Nashville region.
With Vandy?
With Vandy.
No way.
Vandy, Indiana State, Fairfield, and Lehigh. Oh my God.
Does only one team come out of that? Or is it two? I don't know how that works.
Two, I thought. Wait, how many? It goes what? It goes 64.
I don't know. Whatever, but.
Yeah.
Even if they played like a school like Vanderbilt, like it's like.
That would be the coolest thing ever.
And you almost would want it to come down to that. It's like if we're 35-0 or whatever when it comes down to it, and we make it there, like
you want to
test yourself against those.
I want to play UC Santa Barbara.
You want to test yourself against
those
schools.
You have a better chance of winning, but like, who gives?
And also, schools like Vandy and stuff like that, they go down to kind of local schools near them. Like, they'll lose to, like, a Kennesaw State or something like that.
We saw them play earlier in the year when they first started playing. We saw them play someone. When we were watching Drew's brother pitch, they were playing, like, I forget who, but, like, not Sam Houston, but, like, something like that.
Yeah. Like, just random South schools. They lose to
sometimes.
And they
lose, yeah. It's not like they win every single game.
And like you said, too, like, baseball, it's just meant to, like, in any given day, really, with baseball. Like, with basketball, you have the NCAA tournament, but it's like the 16 seed doesn't really beat the 1 seed usually.
It's in the later rounds.
In baseball, it's a little more likely, I feel like. And, you know, teams are hot that day. Teams are slumping one day. And, so,
well, I mentioned Drew's our co-host Drew in Evening Sports. His cousin plays pitches for Vandy. And Drew said that he texted him about Fairfield, and he was like, yeah, like, we, like, know Fairfield. Like, they're, like, on, like, the actual map for
football.
So it's not like they're, like, a pushover. Like, they understand, like, they're a legit school.
Yeah. And how cool would it be to see Fairfield go up against Jack Leiter or Kumar Rocker?
It's, like, legit MLB pitchers.
Yeah. Like, not even just legit MLB pitchers, but, like, top draft picks, you know? So, and again, that and they have the chance to showcase, they'd have the chance to showcase on a national level, too.
Oh, yeah.
The Fairfield players who are also in their right draft hopefuls, you know? So, that would be a lot of fun. We never want to get too far ahead of ourselves, though, just because you can go 30-0 or whatever in the regular season,
and
you still got to win in the postseason.
So, it's the best of threes in the MAC tournament?
Yeah. So, at least when it gets to the later rounds, I know it is. I know we lost in the championship our freshman year to Quinnipiac. So, yeah, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but it is nice to be nationally ranked. It's nice to be able to kind of like brag about ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, so be kind of not ironically joking about our sport, our athletics for once.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And even Jay Young talked about to us, and it kind of relates to Fairfield baseball. When you asked him, like, were you thinking about playing the one seed or whatever, I don't think Fairfield baseball is thinking about playing Vanderbilt.
No.
You know?
I think
like for them, it's like win the MAC championship.
And I mean, right now, especially now, I don't think they're thinking that far ahead because it's just like every game is adding more and more pressure being undefeated.
And then even if they lost, it would almost take some pressure off, but like they for them, it's to win the MAC championship, the MAC tournament. And Jay Young told us like that's like the prize too for these teams. Like it's almost like
It's a
nice celebration of the season to be able to go play those big teams.
The way he talked about it was like that you're just happy to be there. You're not trying to like win the game even. You're just happy to be there and play.
Yeah, it's like a nice thing. You get to go to these huge facilities and get all the gear and you get a chance to compete against the top teams. It's not like you're not trying to win.
Like you're not trying to win, but you're not expecting it at all.
Yeah. And you've already completed the goal. The goal is to win the MAC championship.
The goal is to win your conference tournament, get there. Not
Like, you're not getting fired if you go lose to Vanderbilt or, like, some of these coaches, like a Shaka Smart or someone like that getting fired for losing in the first round.
There's just different. There's levels to it. There's teams that need that. There's coaches that are
all based on goals.
Asked to win championships or other coaches that are asked to make it there. Other coaches that are just asked to just compete.
Yeah.
It's like all programs are different.
Yeah, so this weekend we'll drop by the Siena games. We'll be out there supporting the boys, watching the games, probably post a little bit about it on our Twitter. Looking forward to some good Fairfield some pitching.
Some pitching, some hitting.
Their weekend starters are
I know
we talked about Signor and Noviello.
Oh, no,
right? And we talked about them, too. Their combined ERA was incredible. They gave up, like, 3 runs in, like, 30 innings pitch. So, yeah, we're excited for this weekend. I guess we'll talk about those games next week on here and continue to kind of just update with MAC basketball news, MAC baseball news. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. I think we get through everything.
Yeah, so this is probably our second to last episode, or our last episode's probably next Wednesday. We're about to, it's almost summer. We're about to take finals, about to get out of here. And we're going to have to do an at-home episode the MAC championships and potentially during if they make it farther. But for now, in WWF Studios, this is our second to last episode of the season until next year. We're going to be patiently watching Fairfield baseball this weekend against Siena. Hopefully you will too. It'll be on Stag Sports Network, which shout out to them really quick before we get out of here. Their production is really good. I was watching the St. Peter stream last Wednesday, and you couldn't even see horrible. Anything.
It froze every 2 seconds.
It froze. Although that was the Manhattan one on YouTube that was freezing
Manhattan?
On us.
Oh, yeah, Manhattan.
St. Peter's, it was like a camera behind a fence. You couldn't even see. The fence was like all in the way. There was like no good angle. So shout out to Stag Sports Network because they have multiple angles, really good production, good commentary, everything like that. So, yeah, those games this weekend will be on there. And, yeah. Shout out to Fairfield Baseball, our nationally ranked Stags. It's awesome to even say that about any sport, and we're really proud of them. Love watching them. So, yeah, until next week, this has been Red Sea Radio, episode 27 on WVUF 88.5 FM, and we'll leave you by saying go Stags.